Good morning, Alpine. Yes, enjoying a second cup of coffee with me, along with lots of conversation, is Alpine resident and author Ben English. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Martin. How are you?
Doing fine, Ben. You've been a guest on the show before because you are an author, a published author. To remind the folks about some of the books you have already written, tell the folks out there.
All right. Well, I had never even tried to be published before, and I threw together a series of short stories about growing up in the Big Bend, the lower Big Bend, back in the 1960s, and my family had been there since the 1880s. So I just threw together a series of short stories at the bequest of Bill Wright, who is a well-known Texas author, and his co-author on projects, Marshall Dottlestaw. I put it together, and I sent it to them, and they said, this is very, very good. Don't send it to anybody else. Go straight to TCU Press with it. So I had my first book published by University Press on the first try. I still don't know what a rejection slip looks like.
Well, you're pretty fortunate there, for sure.
I am blessed in that. But Yonderings was about growing up in the Big Bend and going back after all these years. My second book was my first historical novel. It took place in the lower Big Bend around circa 1980. It was called Destiny's Way. And that book was the first in this series about a family I'll call the Templars. And these stories will go through the centuries, mostly the background of Texas, specifically the lower Big Bend area in West Texas. That book led to my first multi-book long-term contract with the publisher I have now, Creative Texts. Third book was called Out There. Essays in the Lower Big Bend. It's a big picture book, but it's got a lot of information in it. It's got 160 color photographs, 16 hand-drawn maps done by myself, and about a 500 to 600 word essay on each photograph in the book. The fourth one was called The Uvalde Raider. It came out about 2 years ago. It was the second book about the Templar clan, this historical fiction series, takes place in 1990, the eve of the Gulf War. It has to do with a terrorist group, Hezbollah terrorist group, led by Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, that smuggle 500 gallons of Vicks nerve agent into the United States on a Cuban-flagged freighter through Mexico. And their plan is to basically commandeer a Confederate Air Force, back when it was Confederate Air Force and not Commemorative Air Force, B-17 heavy bomber, and deliver this nerve agent over the city of San Antonio.
Yes, and I believe that's the last time you were here.
Yes, sir.
Was promoting that book. And I also want to point out to folks, Ben not only grew up in the South County of Brewster County, but continues to hike the back countries all over the place down there. I don't know if there's anybody that knows more of the back trails and the hidden gems of South Brewster County than you do.
Well, I thank you for the compliment. The truth is, you know, I started out about a dozen questions that country when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And for each question I answered, I had a dozen more. So I think I'm like 4,920 some odd questions behind now. A lot of that knowledge come from my ancestors, my kin, their friends that once lived in that country. And I, of course, back then we had no TV, you had no radio, usually didn't have any electricity. And so what you did in the evening was sit around and tell stories. And I just wish I'd have paid more attention.
Don't we all on that? Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Well, Ben, let's talk about your new book. It's called Black and White, Tales of the Texas Highway Patrol. So let's talk about your history a little bit. You obviously were a DPS officer.
Yes, sir. I was putting my entire career in Ozona, Texas, as a highway patrolman working Interstate 10. I always used to tell my rookies that Interstate 10 was the greatest show on earth, and in that black and white, you had the best seat in the house.
Well, that's probably true. That is a major thoroughfare throughout the south portion of the country, and lots of traffic for certain. And so the book, it's called Tales of a Texas Highway Patrolman. You've seen a lot?
Yes, sir. You know, there when you're in Crockett County, which is Ozona, it's the fifth largest county in the state. The southern county line is only 40 miles from the Rio Grande. You have 70-some-odd miles of interstate. There was no PD in Ozona, the Assistant Sheriff's Office. I probably handled more domestics than what most police officers have. And I was always being brought in. I was an instructor on many different subjects for the academy: firearms, driving, defensive tactics, patrol procedures, officer survival, that sort of thing. So I stay gainfully employed. I want anybody that ever questions where their tax dollars are going as far as the state, I am making certain, or I was making certain, they were getting their money's worth every single day.
Well, and you made a collision. Why don't you give us a little sample of what one of the stories in the book?
All right. Well, this book was very difficult for me to write because it wasn't so much about me other than some of the stupid things I did and managed to survive, but about the guys who did not make it. I lost a sergeant, a rookie. I had a deputy sheriff commit suicide. I lost friends in the line of duty. But in those, I tried to intersperse with funny stories. And one of the ones I put in there, there's about 37 stories in all, was what I called Mr. English, There's a Riot Outside. And during my years as a trooper there, I learned early on from more experienced peace officers that, especially a small community, you be a part of the community. You work with the youth, which I always enjoyed doing because I'm kind of a juvenile delinquent myself. We'll see how that turns out. But I was advised by a game warden by the name of Rod Chalmers, who said, Ben, they can't cuss you too loudly if they know you care about your kids. So I started working 4-H, Baptist Church, Boy Scouts, things like that. And in the 4-H, we had a small bore rifle team. And we would go down there, and we had a barn there, a county barn, to practice in every Wednesday night. And we went down there one night, and I had a deal that I inspected your grades, your school grades. If you were failing, I couldn't use you. If you had a C, you were on probation. That means that if you were on the line firing, you were back there behind me with a book studying. One of my students come to me and said, hey, I need to get my books out of the car. And I said, sure, go on. I got ready to start the line. A fire, and then about the time I was given command to open fire, he come back in, his eyes like saucers. He goes, Mr. English, there's a riot outside. And of course, I come up just foaming, ripped off my headphones, ran outside. Sure enough, there was about 7 or 8 people going at it out there, and there's other ones wanting to get into it at a motel across an empty lot. So I popped the trunk of my Trans Am, grabbed my two-way, already had my pistol with me, my ID, and went running across that lot in the dark on the radio, calling the sheriff's office, asking for backup. And I guess I sounded a little unsure of myself, a little winded, because you're trying to run through that empty lot in the dark, hitting stones and brush and everything else. So the only deputy on duty was Shane Fenton. He ended up being the sheriff of Crockett County, and he come at my direction to full open this old Ford. I got there and we got it all settled down. We had to do a little hands-on, little counseling and things of that nature. And we hauled the ones that needed to go off to jail. When I got through, I looked around and there was dozens of vehicles parked around there watching, people watching. And after I got through, people came out of these vehicles, started coming up to me and saying, Mr. English, we were listening in on the scanner and you sounded like you might be in trouble. We weren't trying to get into your business. We just came out here to make certain you were all right. And the thing that needs to be pointed out about that is that some of these people I'd issued citations with, a few I've been forced to arrest, a couple of we'd had some words and they weren't kind ones. Yet when my back was to the wall, or they thought my back was to the wall, they'd come out to help. Not only that, they were the same people that for decades following made certain that I was taken care of and my family was taken care of if I wasn't around, if I was down in Austin or something. No peace officer could ever ask for more out of the community they serve and their fellow citizens than that. Even if they didn't like me, they took care of my family.
Well, that's have a lot to do, I think, with being in a small town like Ozona, for sure.
And that also goes with Alpine. I've seen it here in Alpine, too.
Well, as I said, small towns have that in, certainly have that in common. So, Ben, you just recently had a book signing here in Alpine, right?
Well, the first book signing was actually in Bernie. I haven't had one here
yet. Oh, you haven't? Okay, it was Bernie. Okay.
Kind of give you an idea of what's going on. I got to the Bernie Public Library, the Patrick Heath Memorial Library there. You're supposed to start there at 11. I got there at 10 to start setting up, and there was already people in the parking lot waiting for me.
Yeah. Well, from my understanding, the book is doing quite well on Amazon.
And, yes, sir.
You were telling me how they sell a bazillion books on Amazon, and it's ranked where at?
It was at one time ranked at 8,610 of all the books' titles on Amazon, and that is estimated to be around 12 million. I don't think Amazon themselves really knows how many they have, but I've heard estimates from 12 million to 25 million, so we'll go 12.
Well, that's fantastic. And besides Amazon, if somebody wanted to get a copy of this book or any of your books, where could they get them locally?
Well, they could go to a museum. The museum here, Museum of the Big Bend, handles some of my titles. The Saddle Shop handles some of my titles, last time I checked. Front Street Books, I think, is handling all my titles. And Dave Duran at the Staple Performance Cars has all of my titles, and all the books there are autographed. And he also does mail order in case somebody wants to order some or from some other place here in Texas or wherever.
And those are autographed, the ones down at the
yes,
stable.
Yes, sir.
You get a little extra, and they're at the regular price.
Yes, sir. Dave Duran has been a big supporter of mine, and I really appreciate him.
Well,
in fact, he's got a big cutout of me standing in my pack and my campaign cover. When I walk in, first time I saw it, it kind of spooked me, you know. He got all my books there and such. And I told him later on, I said, you know, Dave, we could probably get a lot of those made up, that poster of me, and sell them as targets in Ozona. They probably sell like hotcakes over there.
That may be why he got it made up. You don't know. And for folks who may not know Ben, you may have seen him running through town as a. How much weight do you put in the? And he runs through town with a backpack. Now, how much weight is in that backpack?
I usually aim for about 10% of my body weight, which is about 15 pounds. So. And I run a cross country course. I don't run that far. I only run about 4 clicks. It's about 2.6 miles. I try to make it as much up and down as possible. You know, I had go by the little footbridge here for the draw, and then up on top of the hill and back around the gym, the golf field, and go back into where I live. And I was telling somebody the other day, I said, how in the world do you keep the shape that you're in to go down there and hike like you do? And I said, there's no good way to train for it, but that's about as close as you can get other than actually going down there and doing it.
I was going to say, if you want to hike down there, you do have to train, and that is a good a good training you go in. And I'll also point out to the radio listeners, since they can't see you, Ben is over 39 years old. So, you know, I know I couldn't jog anywhere near as far as you, and we're not too far away in age. So, Ben, I know no moss grows under your feet for sure, because you already have books 6 and 7 planned. Is that correct?
That is correct. My sixth one is on the Cristeros Rebellion in Mexico. Well, most people are not aware of this, but there was a conflict, an armed conflict, a literal rebellion from supporters of the Catholic Church, and they were being persecuted by the Mexican government, which was very secular at that time. This was from 1926 to 1929. This book will cover what happened to some of these peoples. Again, historical fiction in nature, and it will deal with the background, the historical background there, and these people trying to get to the United States to freedom so they're not persecuted anymore. Many of these Cristeros, from what they call La Crietad, were executed by the Mexican government after surrender. So they were trying to get out.
This is one of these stories that's not necessarily known by everyone around. It's kind of one of those secret that go back a ways?
Yes, sir. It's something that the Mexican government just tried to squash. even in literature and radio and everything, so they basically took over everything at that point. There was a very strong communist influence in Mexico during that time. A lot of people don't know it, but Leon Trotsky, who was the opponent to Joseph Stalin to take over after Lenin died in the Soviet Union, he was exiled to Mexico. In fact, he was assassinated by NKVD Soviet agents in 1940 in Mexico City.
All right. Well, obviously you've done your research on this stuff.
That goes back to hearing from my dad, my granddad, people like that. I remember this Povernier incident that people are talking about now. They act like it was some kind of big secret. I knew about it when I was in the first grade in Presidio, Texas. My dad told me about it.
Yeah.
You know.
And for the folks who may not be familiar, that happened right after Christmas, after the shooting at the Bright Ranch. What was that,
1917. That was near Christmas Day that year. And it wasn't just the Bright Ranch, the raid on the Bright Ranch. You know, there were, at Santa Isabel, which is near Chihuahua City, the Villistas took 21 or 22 miners.
Hostage?
Well, they took them off the train and executed them.
Okay.
And most of them were Americans. I think one or two was British or Canadian. Then there was the Columbus raid. Everybody knows about that.
Right.
And then there was the Cinco de Mayo raid there in Glen Spring in 1916. And people don't realize there was between 150 and 200 Villistas on our side of the river at that time. And they just didn't hit Glen Spring. They hit all over there.
Yeah. And a lot of folks also don't know that there used to be a place called Fort Holland.
Yes, sir.
And in between, it's in between like Valentine and the river.
Yes, sir. And it was there because of this carrying on. And again, I try telling history that most people don't know anything about. You know, I spent some time when I was in the Marine Corps, of all places, in southern Arizona, because my second hitch, I worked Marine Counterintelligence. And we went to the Army Intelligence Schools at Fort Huachuca. And, you know, southern Arizona, Tombstone, Fort Huachuca, Chiricahua Mountains, Cochise, Geronimo, all this other, you know, they have their history and they're proud of it. And they make a big
deal
out of it.
The last holdout of Geronimo.
Right. Yeah. But we have so much more history right here in the Big Bend area and in West Texas. But it's just not near as well known. We don't have the movies made about it and the books written about it. And I'm trying to change some of that.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job. Well, listen, Ben, first, can I get you another cup of coffee?
I think I'll sit here with this water. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, Ben, I want to thank you for coming in today and telling us about not only your past books, but your current book, the Black and White Tales of the Texas Highway Patrol. It can be found at most bookstores here in Alpine, the Stable, the Museum, and you can get it at Amazon, but try to buy local if you can. And Ben, we look forward to your sixth and seventh book coming out, and when you do, we're going to have you back in here again.
We'll be glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, and Ben, I'm going to leave this interview with this song here. Have yourself a great day, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. You do the same. God bless you.